Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
And we drive to church. We sometimes maybe put a different face on, our church face. And the truth is, our God is an awesome God. And there isn't anything he can't do. And what you will find as you listen to other Christians and you listen to their stories and their journeys, you will realize they are just like you. They are imperfect vessels being made perfect through the grace of God. They fail just like you fail at times. They have high times and low times. There's areas in life where I'm not sure if you've ever done this, but for me as a young Christian, I used to be really, really hungry, and I still am, for what God had to say to me. And whenever there was a reason for a prayer line, I was there. And I remember many years ago, I'm not very good at listening. Talk to my wife, you'll get the full picture. I'm not very good at listening, and all I heard was, is there anyone who needs prayer? What I didn't realize was, the altar call was for women's issues. So I'm at the front of the queue, and my pastor goes, why are you here, Andrew? I want you to pray for me. Really? I just want what God has to offer. And sometimes we can lose that hunger. And I will get on to the text that I want to share from in a moment. But we can lose that hunger. And sometimes men and women in our lives will, instead of encourage us, they will discourage us. And yet, if we take our eyes off of them, I think it was Sandra who shared a few weeks ago that if we put our faith in people, we'll be let down. But if we put our trust in God, we won't be let down. And I'm really encouraged that you can be here this morning to encourage someone else. I'm really encouraged that we can hear what God's word says. And when I look through Scripture, the New Testament, yes, Jesus told lots of parables, but yet he was the word, wasn't he? So everything he said was powerful and it had meaning. And I was thinking to myself, and Clive chose the hymns for today, and when it comes to anything that says stand, it has a really encouraging effect on me, because it points to me afresh and it says, listen, stand, and I'll stand with you, God says. Stand and I'll stand with you. And I want to encourage you today that if you're going through a season of turmoil or a season of joy, then stand and let God stand with you. Be encouraged. Be of good cheer, the Bible says. We're looking at James, and we're on the last section of James. And I've really been challenged by James, the half-brother of Jesus, and I've been encouraged by him. James is they call him a street preacher. What that means is he comes down to the level of the everyday man and woman, and he speaks. And he's a man that understood what it was to be persecuted. He understood what it was to be chased. And the end of his life, he was thrown off the temple and beaten to death because he didn't die in the first act. He understood what it was to watch his loved ones suffer. And yet he understood what it was to know this God, this Savior called Jesus. And for me and you, we don't come to church. We are the church. We come to a collective gathering because that's what the Lord says to us. Do not forsake the gathering together. Whether it's here or whether it's somewhere else, let's gather together. Let's encourage one another. And through worship today, I have been immensely encouraged to stand afresh. And James, please take the time to read it. Don't just listen to a message on a Sunday for a few moments. I was waiting for that. It's seamless in this church. A few moments. What does the Bible say? A day is but 1,000 years. So what's a few hours amongst friends? I'm not very good at celebrating success. And what I mean by that is there's lots of things as a minister, I have a privilege as senior pastor of this church to be involved in people's lives. And I'm not very good at sharing what God has done. And I don't want to change the habit of a lifetime, but I want you to know that God is working in the background. You know, for me as a young Christian, I didn't have much to offer but me. And it's the same for you. And sometimes we can think that we're not talented. When James is talking to his audience, he knows that they know what it is to suffer. He knows that they know what it is to come out of a religious situation into freedom. And yet that freedom seemed to brought bondage. And for me and you, I guess it's true in our Christian walks that there's times where we say we're coming out of bondage and yet we seem to be not in the freedom that God has called us to. I want to remind you through the book of James that yes, times are tough, but they're also very fruitful. And in James 13, and we're going to go from James 13 to 20. And just read through that and maybe bring one or two things out. It says this: is anyone among you in trouble? And the word trouble can be translated, and when you go back through and you look at this word, are you being troubled? Are you being persecuted? Are you being chased? Is there anyone? And he's asking his audience, he's asking those that listen, is any one of you in trouble? And we can say the same today because the word is active. It's alive, isn't it? It's living. It speaks to us afresh. We can listen to the word being proclaimed in a false way. So I can remember years ago, I'd listen to a TV evangelist and they would say this. They would say, if you're in trouble, if you're sick, sow $1,000 into my ministry and God will heal you. Well, that's false teaching, isn't it? That's not what James is saying here. He says, is anyone among you in trouble? He's talking to the congregation, to the people that are listening, and we want to talk to you. I want to say to you, are you in trouble? Well, I don't need to give you advice. Let's see what James says. Let them pray. Let them pray. Prayer sometimes can be one of the hardest things to do. I can dig myself out of a hole. I can work myself out of a situation. But for me, it was so difficult just to say, God, I'm giving it to you. Lord, I can't do this. Prayer is communication. Many years ago, and you may not have heard this story, so I will repeat it. I had the privilege of sitting down with a man and leading him to Christ many years ago. This man, his name was Gerald. He was in his 80s, and he was a multi-millionaire, and he couldn't rest, he couldn't sleep, he was tick, tick, tick all the time, and I did some work on his at his home. I didn't know him, he only knew me by the name of Andrew, who did his garden. And he came to me one day and he said, Andrew, I want what you've got. So I said, what, debt? And he said, no, you've got peace. So I said to this man, when you have time to listen to what I have to say, then come and see me. He rang me up about 4 months later, and he came over to our home in Clenchwarton, and he sat down and he said, I now have time. I now have time. And I said, let's pray. And he was like me, he said, how do I pray? And it was not a revelation, but I just said, talk to God like you're talking to me. And that's prayer. Our Father that is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, Lord. And I asked him to just talk to God, and he poured out his heart and then immediately fell asleep. Why? Because the peace that transcends all understanding fell upon him. Sometimes in life, using the words of James, if you're in trouble, pray, pray. And it might be the last thing that you do, pray. It could be the first thing that you do. Pray. Can I encourage you as we come to the end of this book, the end of this small letter as such, to take James, take what he says, take what he reveals, the simplicity of it. If any one of you is in trouble, pray. So I want to encourage us to pray. Just to say, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Father God, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Lord, come and work in this situation. He goes on to say, is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. I have found this, using the words of James here, if anyone's in trouble, pray. If anyone's happy, sing songs of praise. I want to suggest to you that if you are in trouble and you sing songs of praise, you'll be happy. Because what happens, it takes the emphasis off of you, puts it onto him, and then suddenly the mountain becomes a molehill. Or you could just stamp on your toe. Then you'd be so preoccupied with the pain in your toe, you'll forget about the rest of the troubles. Praise is something that opens up our hearts. Question. Have you got something to be joyous about? Yes? Breathe in. That's a good thing, isn't it? That's something to be joyous about. When you look around at your family, or not, depending on which family you're in, it's something to be joyous about. Lord, I thank you that they live a long way away. No, Lord, I thank you. Thank you that you blessed me with children and grandchildren that live a long way away. Lord, I thank you that I have breath in my lungs. Lord, I thank you that there may be areas of my body that don't work the way that I want them to, but I thank you that you love me. You see, praise is something that will bring joy to our spirits. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we all know this one. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because his rod and his staff will comfort us. It doesn't say, when I go through times of trouble, I pitch my tent in the valley and I say, woe is me, what can be done? No, no, the psalmist understands that this is a journey. As we heard earlier, the journey of sanctification, it's a journey as we walk through. And using the words of James, if you're in trouble, pray. If you're happy, if you're in a good place, then praise God. And I want to suggest, turn this around the other way. When you're in trouble, praise God. Praise God. When you're in trouble, praise God that he's the answer to the question. In the beginning was the Word became flesh, the flesh became spirit. When you understand that Trinitarian situation there, you'll know that God didn't leave us as orphans. He came to indwell in us, yes? I'm liking this anyway. He indwelled in us. He that is in us, the Bible says, is greater than he that is in the world. So what trouble? He's overcome. Now, there are things that are desperate to us. There are things that seem that are unmovable. There's things that seem to be a long way away, yet God says, say the word, and it will be. There's times where man, woman will say something to us, that godly men and women will crush us. When we take our eyes off of the crushing and put our eyes on him, we suddenly praise God. We'll start to think of the good things in our lives, and we'll start to think of the good things that those individuals said about us rather than the negative. So whether you're in trouble, pray. When you're feeling joyous, praise. Turn it around the other way. When you're in trouble, praise God. Praise God. If you, I digress, you'll get to understand a little while because I have to fill these 3 hours up somehow and I only have a few scriptures. When Jesus was given the task to feed the 5,000, picture him with the loaves and the fishes. What did he do? Was it, let's tear these up into really small pieces because it's got to go a long way. Or did he look up to heaven and say, Father, I thank you. Bless what we have. Bless the small that we have. And what happened was it multiplied. Now, there is a key there. Now, we hear preachers say it all the time, three keys to prosperity. But what I mean by key is just to unlock something. That is a key. Thanksgiving. Prayer and thanksgiving is a key to seeing something multiply. Father God, move in this situation. Lord, I give you this small bit of faith that I have. I thank you that your word says, if I have faith as small as a mustard seed, I can say to this mountain, be moved. So Lord, I lift up this small amount of faith I have. And I pray about this mountain that stands before me of trouble. Move it in Jesus' name. And then the Bible says, pray as if your prayer has been answered. Look it up. They're not just words. That's truth. The Bible says, when you pray, believe that your prayers have been answered. So when we pray about the trouble we're going through, we lift it up to God. And then we say, Father, I thank you that you've moved that mountain. That's not rocket science. That is actually good advice. When you take scripture and you put it in the context and you use it in everyday life, the Bible says that at the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So fill your heart with God's word and it will come out. Is anyone in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Then it says in 14, is anyone among you sick? Is anyone among you sick? Now that word to be sick is, I can't get up. I can't get up. I am rooted to the spot. I am on my sick bed. I cannot get up. He says, if you're sick, Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. There'll be times that you can't get up. I read something here, and I hope you take this in the right way and hear my heart on this. As someone who believes that God put his hand on him at a very young age, someone who didn't think he was good at anything, and then God opened my mouth, and sorry guys, I haven't shut up since. Someone who always saw the negative in himself, yet God saw the positive in him. And I share it not to say, woe is me, but to say, look what the Lord has done, and he can do it for you too. There was times when I was sick, and when I was sick, I called upon the elders to pray for me. And there's a challenge within me. When I see somebody who's not well, I just want to go and pray for them. It's something that's natural in me. Yet here, within the church context, it says, let them call on the elders. And so often, when I've had conversations with people in church life, this is what they say to me. I wanted to ring you, Andrew, but I didn't want to bother you. That's sad, isn't it? It's good in one sense that they're considering my time, but this is joyous to me. So if you ever get sick, you're ever on your bed and you can't get up, call on the elders of the church. But you've got to do something, and that's something that God's got to do in us, because we don't like to ask for things. How are you? I'm fine. Or is it just me? We do that, don't we? So how are you today? I'm fine. I'm okay. Yeah, we know the joy of the Lord is our strength, but sometimes it's okay to say, listen, by God's grace, I am moving forward, but there is something you can pray with me about. Let's pray together. And if you're ever sick, call on the elders and let them pray over you. And it talks about anointing with oil. And when we look at that whole passage there, something I struggled with as a very young age as a Christian, was the oil a special thing? Did I have to, every time I prayed for someone, I put the cross of Christ on their forehead with olive oil and see them fry? I don't know. Yet, when we look through this and we really do a study and we look at oil is a symbol for the Holy Spirit, and oil is a medicinal medicine as well. And there again, as a caveat, as a sideline, just to say this, in case you're in that camp, there have been teachings out there that have said this: you are sick because you don't have enough faith to be well. So what some people do is they throw away their medicines. They stop going to the doctors. They anoint themselves with oil and they sit and wait and they die. There are times that God will speak to you. He'll say, call on the elders, they'll pray and he will heal you. He will rise you up. And there are times that we use what God's provided through the medical staff that we have at our hands. I would never, ever counsel anyone to do anything unless God has told them. So we can look at this oil as medicine. And there's a scripture that I'll read out as I go through, just to illustrate that. It says, if they're sick, let them call on the elders of the church and pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Now, it's not something that we just add on to our prayer. Father God, I pray that you bless me in Jesus' name. It is the name that is higher than any other name. It's a name that has power. It's the name above all names. And when we truly understand what it is, the name of Jesus, he is your provider, he is your healer, he is your comforter, he is your redeemer. When we truly understand what we're praying in, we will pray as if our prayers have been answered. Father God, I'm going through this time of trouble. Lord, I give you praise, I give you thanks, I give you glory that I'm redeemed. That, Lord, whether I live or whether I die, I belong to you. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Father God, I praise you that you're working in me. And I pray this in your name. You're my healer. You're my provider. You're my redeemer. You're my comforter. It's a name that if we truly understand it, when we pray, we'll pray as if our prayers have been answered. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. There's not a special prayer of faith in the sense of I have to pray this prayer in a certain order. If you've put your trust in Christ, If Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, when you pray, it's a prayer of faith. Will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. There again, it's worth pausing here and looking at what Scripture says about sin and about sickness. There is a correlation between sin and sickness. There is. There are people who are bound up in unforgiveness. Their body is twisted because of the negative things that come out of their mouths. There is. But we live in a fallen world, and we fall foul of this fallen world, and we walk in brokenness, knowing that God's going to mend us, that God's going to redeem us, and God's going to heal us, and we're going to have eternity with Him. So yes, there is a sense at times that there is sin that we need to be forgiven of. But we are children of Christ. We are saints that have been justified, sanctified, and set apart. They will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray to each other that you may be healed. I don't want you to treat me as a Father Andrew and come and we've got a queue for 6 hours where we confess our sins. No, but there may be times, and it's happened in the life of this church and some of you here, where you've come to me or gone to someone else and said, listen, I'm really struggling with this. Will you stand with me? I'm really struggling with gambling. Will you stand with me? So what they're saying is, this is grabbing hold of me. It's causing me to sin. I want you to stand with me. That's a good thing. We can take that advice from James. If there is something that you're struggling with, go to a brother or a sister. You won't be condemned. It's a journey of sanctification, as Jill has already testified to. Could you imagine Jill going to church and she, the first testimony that comes out of her mouth is, I kicked my husband today, but the door got in the way. People would be horrified. I remember going to a yeah, it was a good door. I went to a Christian conference, and there was a sweet lady with us in her 80s, and the person who was ministering just said, oh, I had an argument with my husband, and I ripped the buttons off his shirt. Well, she was horrified. So I'm thinking, I'm keeping quiet. I ain't saying anything. My goodness, she won't travel home with me. But there are times where we can confess that sin to God. He is our high priest. Lord, take this from me. Lord, help me. But there's other times where we want to be accountable. So if you go through those times and you go, I can't do this on my own, then come and speak to someone. Someone you trust and say, I want to pray. I want you to pray with me. That's good advice. It's powerful and it's effective. The prayer of a righteous person, that is powerful and effective. You've been made righteous. We sung it in our songs today. You've been made right with Christ. Elijah was a human being. And we look at people, and it's good to look back and see what God has done in other people's lives. But he says Elijah was a human being just like us, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. It's good to see what God is doing in other people's lives. I can remember when people, I get around men and women who really knew their Bible, and this is me as a young Christian, really knew their Bible, and I felt so inferior, so small and insignificant. But there was times where they would say something and my ears would prick up. And I'd think, that's surely not true. And have you ever been there where you don't want to challenge because they're so much wiser than you? They're so much older than you. They've been in the Word a long time. Yet there's something within your spirit that no, it's not quite right. And that's happened to me. When we look through Scripture, we look at the men and women that God chose to use. I like Peter because he had foot and mouth disease, didn't he? He had one foot in his mouth all the time. He said the wrong thing with the right heart. He got it wrong. Yet God said, I'm going to build my church and I'm going to use you. And it's the same for you. And it's the same for me. It's good to look back at what God has done. When we look at the Apostle Paul, I guess one of the greatest apostles that we read about. And yet his name used to be... And what did he do? He used to beat people like you up. He used to tie you and set you on fire. He would stand there and look after clothes while you got stoned. Yet God got hold of him and changed him. So when you're going through a tough time, when you're going through trouble, pray. When you're going through the good times, praise. When you're going through trouble, praise and pray. When you're going through times where you can't walk on your own, let somebody walk with you. If you need to confess something and say, Lord, I need you to understand, Father, I can't do this on my own. Help me with this addiction. Help me with this situation, this circumstance. Look in Scripture. Look back at who God used. Look back at Paul. Read about Saul. Read about Elisha and Elijah. The man of God, what does he do? He overcomes 100 prophets. Have you been there? Where you're on a high. Your prayer life is working. You lay hands on the sick, they get healed. There's something going on. You're so in tune with God. And then one person comes up to you and say, who do you think you are? And you sometimes say, yeah, I'm just a worm. And you run. That's what happened with the man of God, wasn't it? He saw the prophets of Baal defeated. Then a woman comes and says, I want your head today. And he ran. And I can identify with that, and I'm sure you can. But I'm going to encourage you, through the book of James, run into the arms of God. Allow him to minister to you. Brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, someone should bring them or bring that person back. If you're finding yourself wandering, if you know of someone that is wandering, now what that means is deliberately going into the road, the pathway of sin. That's not someone who doesn't come to church for a couple of weeks. That's not someone who don't pray their Bible as much as they should. It's someone who is deliberately, and you can see it, they're on the highway to hell. If you can see that, go after them. Yeah, but they might take offense. When we speak the truth, we speak it in love, don't we? But it's still the truth. Listen, if you continue to do this, this is what will happen. If you see someone wandering from the truth, bring them back. Remember, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. That's the book of James. The psalmist, really, if you go through troubled times, look through the Psalms, be encouraged. David himself says, my soul is overwhelmed. But then he goes on to say, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. It says this in Psalm 50, 15. And call on me, God says, in the day of trouble. So it's not just James. James understands what it is to be in union with God through Jesus Christ. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. You know, we give God praise and glory, and we honor him at the same time. In Psalm 4:1, it says this, answer me. This is David calling out. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, answer my prayer. Lord, come. What does the Bible say? We have not because we ask not. And so often we've been taught falsely not to ask. What do you mean? Lord, could I be taller, please? I'd like that prayer to be answered. I don't know if I ever will be taller, but I'm going to ask. Lord, heal my eyes so I don't need to wear glasses. Is it wrong for me to pray that prayer? It's not wrong for me to pray that prayer. Why? Because God can do all things. I have not because I ask not. Lord, this aching back, take it away in Jesus' name. The name that is above every other name. Lord, hear my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayers. The Lord accepts our prayers. In Matthew 5:44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. James says, is anyone in trouble? You may be in trouble because of persecution. That persecution may be coming not from the enemy himself, not from Satan himself, but from your friends, from your neighbors. What does God tell us to do? Hit them. Oh, no, wrong scripture. Sorry, it doesn't. It says, I tell you, pray for your enemies. Pray for those that persecute you. So when we pray for our enemies, we can then rejoice in the answer because God will take care of it. This is stuff that will help us to grow and mature and be who God's called us to be. Jesus suffered, didn't he? He suffered for our sins. In Matthew 26, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Put my teeth back in. Matthew 26, 39. It says this of Jesus, going a little further. And I love this scripture because it conjures up a picture for me. I'm someone that I see things in pictures and poetry. And because of my dyslexia, God loves me enough to show me things in different ways. And I see Jesus in torment. And yet it says here, going a little further. So if you're in trouble, go a little further. If you're in a good space, go a little further. Give God praise. Give him the honor. He fell on his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." So the answer to the question, is it okay to ask? Yes, it is. Jesus said of his Father himself, "If there's any way of taking this from me, take it." Then he goes on to say this, "Yet, not as I will, but as you will." And there's a big difference. In James, he talks about, "You foolish man, you foolish woman, you say you're going to go this place and that place, you're going to plant this business and sow that seed and you're going to make money. You foolish man, your very life may be demanded of you." The thing that happened there wasn't that God was against making finances or plans. It was, they left me out of it. You left me out of it. When we plan, let's put God in the center of our plans and purposes. I am going to encourage you. I have lots of things to say, but if I could end... Is Clive here? Oh, yes, he is. He's behind you. If you come back, Clive, and lead us in a triumphant chorus, as we say. While I read these 36 scriptures that I have left, I am a fast reader. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Known, Paul says, yet regarded as unknown. Dying, he says, yet we live on. Beaten, he says, yet not killed. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. You want to read what Paul has to say about being beaten, shipwrecked, being maligned by his enemies and his friends alike. Yet he can say these words, not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet made making many rich, having nothing yet possessing everything. We have all that we need in Christ Jesus. Matthew 9:5. Get up and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. I put that one in there because it says of Jesus, which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk. God wants to heal you physically and spiritually. There are spiritual things that we go through. There are spiritual torments and there are physical torments. May God say to you and me afresh, get up. You're forgiven. Walk. Luke 10:34. He went to him and bandaged his wounds. This is the parable, as we like to know it, the Good Samaritan, pouring on oil and wine. He poured on oil and wine as a symbol of healing. Can I say to you, let God pour on oil as a symbol of his anointing. Let him pour fresh oil on you today. As we stand and we worship him, you don't need to come forward unless you want to, of course, and we'll pray with you. But stand and say, Lord, fall on me afresh. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Lord, let your will be done in my life. Lord, guide me, direct me, correct me. Lord, help me with my health. Help me with my finances. Help me with my spiritual walk. Let him take care of you, just as this man took care of his enemy. If this man could take care of his enemy, how much more will God take care of his child? That's you. And that's me. We are the children of God. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference between Jew or Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. The reason I read that portion of scripture out is this, because James said, the prayer of a righteous man will accomplish much, yes? You have been made righteous through your faith in Christ Jesus. You have been made righteous by the blood that was shed for you and for me. So when you pray for someone, pray in faith. When you're in trouble, call on God. When you're in a good place, praise his name. Okay? Amen. Bless you, Clive.
I'd just like to share with you, as Andrew's been talking about coming and asking for prayer and being willing to come and ask for prayer, that when Rich was here a couple of weeks ago, I was having trouble with my shoulder and I couldn't lift my arm higher than that. And he prayed for me and I'm healed. So praise the Lord. Collection, while we have the last one.
Just to follow on from that, we was just hopefully for some encouragement. We was out a couple of weeks ago. I wasn't here last week to testify to this, but we went out and there was three of us who went out onto the streets in King's Lynn. Not much happened until the sort of last walk around the park. We met up with a group of young children, probably between sort of 12 to 14 year olds, and stopped and said to one of these girls, is there anything you need prayer for? She said, I dislocated my shoulder yesterday. She said, I can't lift my shoulder any, my arm any higher than this. So we prayed for her and said, well, go on, then try it now. And she went, yeah, I can't lift it any higher than this. That's as far as it goes. And we're like, yeah, well, it won't go any higher than that. That's as high as you can lift it. But there was a group of maybe 7 or 8 other children. And gradually, one by one, they started coming, well, I've got a bad back, can you heal that? And then between the three of us, we must have prayed for eight of these youngsters, all of them declaring that God had healed them in some way or other. And obviously they got the gospel from that, and we just shared the love of God to them. So yeah, God is active and God's alive.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.